Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Fear. Fear is a very dominant feeling right now. A lot of people have a lot of anxieties and concerns about where the world is going. And so I think it's wise for us to take some time to reflect on fear. Fear is our emotive response to when something is challenging us, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. When we get attacked in that way, we take up our defensive stance, and our goal is to either flee or to figure out how to get out of the situation as fast as possible. That is fear. Fear is a really challenging one because it comes up really fast and we don't always know what to do. Often, it becomes so defensive, we get paralyzed. We can't do anything. We're stuck. And that way, we now lose all of our power because we're stuck in a situation where we don't know how to move and we have something coming at us. In that way, however, the opposite of fear is actually courage, which is a wonderful play on today's readings because Jesus comes up to him and says, take courage. Courage comes from the Latin word of heart. It literally means have heart, have a strength, have some fortitude, have some courage moving forward. Courage, heart, which means the opposite, fear, is to lose heart. We lose all of our sense of self. We lose our strength and courage going forward, and so we're stuck. Whereas the opposite is, be strong, be excited, be courageous, go forward. Going further than that, the spiritual side of fighting against fear is not just strength or courage, it's also trust. To really trust in God counters our fears because now we have something else out there. God says he'll take care of it. If we believe that, we're not paralyzed, we're not stuck, we can move forward. So our challenge is to recognize fear. What is it like to be afraid? What things cause us fear? And how does that challenge us to grow in trust in God? How does that give us strength and courage to move forward in the world around us? In this way, I have some examples to help understand the fears we face. The first set being personal fears, things that relate directly to us. This can be literally we're walking down a dark alley and this guy comes out with a knife. That would be a personal fear. I might be stabbed by that guy. But it could also be a lot of other things like emotional, psychological, and spiritual. On an emotional level, we could fear that someone doesn't like us, doesn't love us, doesn't want us. We can feel abandoned. We can feel like no one around us cares. On a psychological level, we can fear if someone knows our deepest secrets. What if someone knew all the worst things of my life? How would they react to me? What if they found out? I might have to be someone different. Or on a spiritual level, what if God's not there for me? What do I do? All these kinds of fears are very common in our world. I'm sure you all express them to some level. These fears can be paralyzing. They can be so important to us that we change who we are, we disguise things, just so we don't have to face that. There is a way out. God has made us who we are. We have an identity from him. He gives us dignity. He gives us who we are. If we knew that to such a level that we are solid in what God has made us to be, we'd have nothing to fear. Sure, know all my deepest secrets. Go for it. Let's see what happens. Sure, come to know me as I am. What difference does it make? I am who I am. This is the courage that we need, the strength we need to counter those fears that always wrestle around in our lives and deeply affect us on a personal level. We also have fears on a social level. I was reading an article a while ago that said that the Andromeda Galaxy is going to collide with the Milky Way. You know, the article is supposed to bring out fear. Oh no, the galaxies are going to collide in 5 million years. I don't think I'll be around to see that. But this is the sense the media wants from us. They want us to be afraid. That kind of fear sells articles. And so in that way, we're bound to them. We're bound because we're afraid and they give us the answers. We're paralyzed because all these bad things are happening and they can tell us what to do. Not true. As the war in Ukraine continues, that's the only war we hear about. But there's still many other wars going on throughout the world. There's really never been an age in human history where we've not been at war. We just only care about certain ones. If we realized how often we've been at war and how little it's affected the world, we wouldn't be that afraid. We'd be able to move forward with some sort of confidence. In the same way, we see in the news today about the financial collapse or inflation, all these things. We've been there before too. We will find a way through. There's always a way. We've survived. In this way, it's reshaping these things that cause such fear and anxiety and seeing them in their rightful place. What we need to do in situations like this is analyze it. okay, instead of just automatically being afraid, is there anything I can do about this? There's lots of things in the world we have no power over. They're going to happen. They're going to be problematic to some extent. We'll find a way through. There's nothing I can do. I let it go. There's certain things we can do something. We can either prepare, or we can work with people. We can try and enact laws. There's lots of different ways that we can work through the challenges of our world together. But knowing that we have a way forward makes us so we're not so afraid. We have a path forward. We have something we can do. We have a good outlook. That's how we deal with our social fears. We start to analyze them, reflect on them, recognize how important they are, and find a way forward. The most striking one and the most challenging one is fear of God. Now, not a lot of people fall into this category, but I argue more people fall into it than we think. Now, there is a good side to it. There's a virtue called fear of the Lord. What that does is it gives us an awe, a wonder before God. It's not like we're terrified and thinking he's going to destroy us. It's different. It's the sense of the majesty of God being present before us and that he means something to us, means something enough that our lives are changed. Most people today have more malaise towards God. They just don't care. He's just there. We do our thing. We move on. True fear is when people are afraid of God's punishment. They think he's going to like squash them, or he's going to unveil something, or he's so big and majestic, there's nothing I can do. Almost a paralyzing fear that actually draws them away from God. Today's readings guide us into a new way of experiencing God, a way that can guide us either through that fear or to have a better relationship with him. Our first reading from the first book of Kings, we find Elijah. Elijah's not in a good place. He just slew the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ashtra, the 950 prophets of Queen Jezebel, the queen of Israel. She's not happy. She's furious, like a bloody rage. She says, I'm going to find you, Elijah, and kill you. Being alone with no army and no one to protect him, he runs away. He's afraid. So he runs up to Mount Horeb, where he once encountered God before. And here is where we find him. He's huddled in this cave, terrified out of his mind, hoping God will help him. In that midst, the midst of his terror, he teaches us a great deal about dealing with fear. We can interpret the great fire as though it's all those emotive responses, the fear we have in our world that can feel like this major firestorm. We can interpret the earthquake as those ground-shattering things that seem to undermine our life and cause us great anxiety. Or the wind as that whirlwind of things in our lives that continue to cause us anxiety. Elijah has to deal with them too, but he deals with them in the silence. The bishops at World Youth Day, the English-speaking bishops, made a point to all the youth. They said, be comfortable with silence. They highly encouraged the entire church to spend more time in silence. There's a reason for it, and Elijah teaches us why. In the silence, we encounter God. In the silence, we come to wrestle with the things of the world. In the silence, we come to know the right path. Elijah was the same way. As he sat there in silence, he saw all those things as unimportant. What he was waiting for was that small whispering silence. I love that phrase. In Hebrew, it literally is the whispering silence. What a great way of picturing God. He waited for that moment so he could hear from God himself out of all the challenges in his life, the way forward and what he ought to do, which was namely he had to leave that space and go anoint the guy as king and then try and go back and figure out what to happen. Regardless, he felt God in the whispering silence. The same thing works for the disciples. Jesus leaves them alone. He makes them go across the sea while he goes to pray. How often do we feel like the disciples in the boat? Where are you, God? Did you, like, come with us? Where were you in the midst of the challenges? Were you there when I was struggling? We can oftentimes feel an absence from God. Wonder, where is he? Why is he doing what I thought he would do? Where is he? And that's what the disciples felt. They're on the boat, terrified. Out of their minds, terrified. As Jesus comes and walks on the water. They're even more terrified because they think he's a ghost. But this shows what terror can do, that fear. They are so afraid, they don't even recognize him. They spent a year with this guy, and they don't even notice him because they're terrified in fear. And as soon as Jesus speaks, they're no longer afraid. They hear his voice. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now, for most of the disciples, they stay in the boat. And frankly, I think that was a wise decision too. It's safe in the boat, they're comfortable, they know what to do, there's no threats at the moment. Jesus is there. Peter, however, is a fun example. He has this incredibly courageous heart. Lord, I want more. Let me walk on the water to you. He wants to go even further and know that it's Jesus for certain. Jesus bids him, so he starts to walk on the water. And this is our example of fear. He has his eyes fixed on Jesus until it turns for a moment. And he sees what he's doing and says, I can't do this. Who am I to walk on water? The winds are too strong. And he starts to sink. But this is his greatest spiritual merit. He says to Jesus, Lord, save me. How often do we say that when we're afraid, when things aren't going right? Lord, save me. And as soon as he says it, immediately Jesus reached out and grabbed him. What an incredibly profound encounter with God. This is the joy of working out of our fears to come to know God. He wants to grab us out of the water. He wants to protect us. He wants to guide us. So let's let him. Let us not be paralyzed in our fear, but let God work through that, that we may come to know him. So here's our challenge. Pope Francis, in his first homily for World Youth Day, made a point to all the youth, do not be afraid. He didn't just say it once. He said it 5 times in a row. In one homily, and literally one after another, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. Why? It's the only phrase repeated by Jesus in the Gospels, 13 times. Because that's how often we're in fear, and we're paralyzed by our fear, to the point where we can't move forward, and we leave from God's presence. So, let us not be afraid. Let us work through our fears to recognize that God is there. Let us build our trust in him to know that we can persevere through anything, and he'll be there with us. Let us work through all these things that we may have a profound encounter with God and know that he's with us every step of the way.